think so.
Nope, I just got a meeting invite.
I don't
to
have
this
a beer.
Podcast.
Dan,
why don't you go get yourself a beer?
To make sure that you have a beer?
I thought it was.
Dan,
oh my God.
Well,
thank God.
Let me,
Sean
let
Brian.
Me get you a beer. You guys finish doing a mic check for me, and.
We'll wait for you to come back because you're the one looking at the board. I don't know if it's showing up anywhere.
Mixer. Thank you.
Did you see his last email from Teresa, by the way? Send the new DNS record to Jeremy. Who the hell's Jeremy?
Jeremy works. Last names? Sorry.
Well, we're not
edit,
recording.
Edit.
Yet. Yeah.
This is called the slow roll where we
cut
are
that in post.
Yeah.
Steve would hate for me to mention that, but he needs that for the F5. The F5 is a load balancer out of Detroit. So.
Do we sell fish? Does fish still work there?
No.
No.
He left a long time ago.
I know, but he was the only guy that knew what the F5 actually did.
I know what it does.
Not like on our end where our load balancer is well taken care of.
Could you imagine being
one
able
guy,
to own the routing for
do,
all of
do you know,
the
have
names?
You ever thought about the fact that nobody actually knows how to do our load balancer? We just have one guy that knows how to open up Citrix tickets with Citrix every time a question comes up.
I know
don't
it.
Admit, do not.
Yeah, but you never admit.
Don't take on that responsibility,
don't,
Dan.
Don't put it on tape.
Don't put it on tape.
Don't put it on tape.
He just pours his beer
on
your computer.
I'm aware of its functionality, however, it is...
I'm shutting this podcast down.
Not my job.
You see Dan in, like, those 60-minute interviews where it's like, I learned how to operate the load balancer.
Yes.
I set up Hillary's domain.
2005.
His image and his voice have been disguised to protect the innocent.
All right, should we officially start?
Oh,
let's kick it off.
Let's do that.
Man.
Dion,
really,
you're in charge today.
Sure. Let's all introduce ourselves. This is Dion.
Dan.
Gavin.
John.
Sean.
And we are the Worldwide IT Guys.
And we have guests.
Nope, we have nothing.
No one here. This is number 35.
We have nothing. However, we have a lot to talk about this week, in my opinion. I don't know where you guys want to start. I was thinking we would start, because it's the most important topic of the week, we would start with America.
It's always the most important. So you're talking about the Budweiser rebranding?
I absolutely believe the Budweiser rebranding should be the lead story.
So why don't you explain to the listeners what it is, and then I have a funny story that actually happened last night about this.
Okay, so... Yeah. I think everybody who listens to this podcast is aware that we like to drink beer once in a while. And one of the most famous beers in the world, Budweiser, has renamed their beer for the summer to America. But not only on the can have they renamed the – they've replaced – it's basically a find and replace with Budweiser equals America. They've also done a find and replace for where it says King of Beers, it now says E Pluribus Unum. Where it says the world-renowned, it says Land of the Free. Where it says Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, it says Liberty and Justice for All. And where it says trademark, it says indivisible. And where it says registered, it says since 1776. So they've made these very patriotic changes to the can of beer that is probably the most popular in the world. It's the most produced.
It is,
and,
yeah.
And
well,
Liberty and liver disease for all.
I had some thoughts about how they really should have rebranded if they really wanted to capture
how would
the
you
spirit.
Have done it? How should Budweiser have done it?
So Budweiser replaced Budweiser with America. It should have just been America. It should have been the very white trashy word that we all use for how do we refer to America on a Monday when, mm-hmm. you know,
should
something,
have just been NASCAR.
Yeah, something NASCAR. Like that. I kind of put a few ideas out there that they could have used for, instead of King of Beers, and E Pluribus Unum, they could have said, instead of the King of Beers, it's the Trump of Beers. Absolutely the Trump of Beers.
That's well, that's the thing I think, that we're going to have campaigns sponsored by. So, you know, since Donald Trump is funding his own campaign,
sure.
he's going to start getting sponsors. And he's going to be up there with a... can of America on every debate, every podium. He's going to have a can sitting next to him right there.
Well, that,
he's going
to
have...
That leads me to, if they replace world-renowned with Land of the Free, and I basically replaced that with Peyton Manning approved, right? Because not only do you win the Super Bowl, but you drink a frickin' Budweiser when you win the Super Bowl or when you're running for president, right? So he's going to be up there with, you know, a can of America, sitting there drinking it, saying, yeah, this is, yeah.
I can see it. And he's going to sell his, like, sponsorship, and he's be totally endorsed by every big brand out there.
Idiocracy is here.
Yeah.
And that would probably help him. He'll make sure that Budweiser can purchase Miller, and then they can become the biggest beer monopoly.
Well, he'll get rid of monopolies, you know, in the United States.
Oh, he did
when
say
he's
that.
President, so he'll allow that transaction to go through. He's
totally going to do that. Yeah.
So what amazed me is they announced this yesterday. I was at a liquor store, actually, right by where you live, Dan, Famous Liquors in River Forest, and it was already there.
Like, shout out to River Forest.
Yeah.
Actually, it's Forest Park.
Or Forest Park.
Oh, Forest Park. Can we get a sponsorship from them?
We could, yeah. We'll give you a 12-pack of America.
Yeah, that'll exactly. Be the sponsorship. Every week would be great.
But that was already there, which amazed me that how do you keep it – how do you distribute this all over the world and keep it quiet until you launch it? And then it's on shelves 5 minutes after you launch it. Like, that's kind of amazing, I feel.
I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, I read
because it's
it.
Hilarious. So you think people would have, like, stocked people, like, you know, if I were working at a liquor store and this came in, I would laugh my ass off and tweet about it, you know, prior
just,
to the...
Because they get it, like, America. Weeks ahead of time.
Yeah, they get it well right. Before yep. This announcement.
The only thing that
I'm just amazed how they're able to keep it so well constructed in terms of the announcement and the deployment.
My buddy works for the one of the bigger distributors of Budweiser beers in our area in Chicago. And the only thing he has alluded to over the past couple months was he was going to have a very busy summer. And I kept telling him, like, well, why do you think that is? Like, are you guys going to purchase, like, some
transformation
craft beer?
Is coming, guys.
Yeah, transformation is coming to
more
everybody.
Horizontal.
Yes. So I'm like, why? I mean, he never really said. He's just like, yeah, I think it's going to be a really busy summer. I'm like, you think it's going to be just business? You're going to be selling more? And he's kind of like, yeah, there's a couple things on the horizon. He never really alluded to it. So they actually sounds, looking backwards now, like they knew about it for a while. Everybody's told to keep it quiet, and this was a big announcement. So they did a good job. But I mean, I think this has been in the works for a while.
I'm sure this is only the tip of the iceberg for what they have. I mean, the endless possibilities of what our presidential campaign is going to bring in the next
product placement and everything. Yeah.
Product placement, just like in I don't bring the topic, but this Jon Stewart. Interview yesterday.
Amazing interview, by the way.
Just asking, like, what is off limits when it comes to politics, and nothing's off limits.
Nothing.
So
life isn't off limits.
You know,
so why
SNL
should anything be in politics?
And yeah. Businesses and advertising is going to jump on the bandwagon here with this pretty comical campaigns.
Yeah. I don't know how many. Well, I feel corporations don't like to land on either side, so I don't know if they'll expressly endorse a candidate or something like that. I mean, they might kind of, like, just get in on the chaos in the...
Do you think Milwaukee's Best is not going to endorse a certain candidate?
I don't think they would. I really don't. I think at the end of the day, they're like, well, you know, we probably have enough drinkers that are on this side of the aisle.
I don't know why you would ever, disenfranchise any segment of your retail market.
Like, it always cracks me up. Like, whenever they fire somebody, like, who says something, they're always like, well, this doesn't reflect ESPN's
views or Budweiser's. But what if you could pollute a river penalty free and actually set it on fire?
I think you might, like, you might donate more money to a particular candidate that's kinder to you, but I don't think you would publicly, as the company, say,
I think
we're
Dan's,
for this person.
I think Dan's poking where you're from, Sean, with a little bit of what would you do if you're
part
fire?
I don't want to get too far into it, but part of the interview yesterday with Jon Stewart, he was talking about the media and how the media has grown Donald Trump, and the networks are saying, well, it's good for ratings, and they don't care what he's saying or how bad it is. It's good for their back end, and it's basically like a drug dealer saying, I know crack is bad for kids, but I'm selling a lot of it on the street, and it's good for business.
It works.
So John Stewart basically compared Donald Trump and the networks to drug dealers and crack, because they don't care what the outcome is.
I think
in the long run,
well, the ratings will be even better if he's president.
Exactly. That's all they care about.
Think about the story every day.
So they're going to get him on TV whenever they can.
Yeah.
Let him spew his nonsense.
He got $1 billion worth of media time for free over the past year, just because he said an outlandish thing every single week that everybody was like, "Can you believe Donald Trump said this?"
I mean, we have news crews
$1 billion worth of
news crews going down to his hotel room to interview him because they can't get a feed or whatever.
But that's not really endorsement of him.
It's, they're not endorsing him. The media.
Their hands are clean because they didn't come out and say vote for Trump.
But you know what? I've listened to some podcasts with some very liberal commentators, and like they're staunchly anti-Trump and have complained themselves about, you know, how much airtime he's gotten, and they're like very dedicated to him not being elected, but they still can't help it. And they've caught themselves at times just saying how, like, there is, like, a natural charisma or just attraction to those stories. So I think it's definitely part of human nature.
Oh, sure.
And Gavin, what does your T-shirt say?
Gavin, what are you wearing right now?
Oh, my God.
I'm wearing a...
Wait. You walked in this morning.
Yeah, sure.
You sat down at your desk.
Let's set the table.
Like you usually do. You kind of walk in with a hurried pace. You sit down. You get right to work. You're all business. And I said, Gavin, stand up.
I guarantee you are so excited with a shirt today.
About to fight me. Yeah, I was really excited.
You set it out on your floor last night, like my son does his...
Oh my God, the guys are going to love this shirt.
Yeah,
oh my God.
So excited.
Right. Can't wait.
I knew the blue would complement these khakis. It was, you know, I had everything set up. But so I stand up, and Dion sees the top part of the t-shirt. It's like a baby blue with some dark blue and red lettering.
It is a campaign shirt for how in America our president and vice presidential campaign t-shirts look. It's got the presidential nominee with the vice presidential nominee with the year, and then the slogan for what their campaign is all about. And Gavin's shirt starts with
Trump, naturally.
And it has a vice president of
Vladimir Putin. Trump Putin
2016.
Make
tyranny great again.
That's what I'm here for.
Wow.
Brought to you by America. I mean, Budweiser.
It only reminds me of my Vader Palpatine, what was it, 2012.
That's a good one. Math.
I have a Vader Palpatine shirt that I love wearing.
This is why I offered to sell my vote to Elisa, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I don't care.
You're ready to cash in.
Ready to cash in.
Yeah.
He's moving to Buenos Aires.
That's right.
Chile.
She's been here 3 weeks, and she's ready to vote for...
Ooh, wow, feeling the burn.
Feeling the burn. Okay. Nice, all right.
Good to know.
Very good. All right, so we've covered America, the Beautiful, in can form. A little bit of Jon Stewart's David Axelrod podcast, which, if you haven't seen it, it's about an hour and 20 minutes. It goes into what he's been doing since he left The Daily Show, what he thinks about the current political situation, what he's doing, you know, what he plans on doing this fall.
And I thought it was a good interview, but did anyone else think that Axelrod really just loves to hear himself speak?
I heard that a lot.
He's a douche. He's a douche.
I think that was a lot of people's first exposure to the podcast, and they're like, why won't this guy shut up?
I think even Jon Stewart realized at some point, like, I get what you do. I hate what you do. Stop doing what you do in this interview and just talk to me like a normal guy, because if you haven't noticed, I've said, like, fuck and shit in the past 10 minutes, and you're still, like...
Isn't he affiliated with the University of Chicago, though?
He is.
So he ran a
podcast, but, like, I don't know. I felt like he still defended everything he'd ever done with his Obama run for presidency.
Well, they always
campaign,
do that. All the political
everything
operatives.
He'd ever done.
I mean, that's their brand.
You never made a mistake. You never thought you would change anything, and you can't be a real guy because you have a list of questions you're going to ask in front of this audience. That's kind of how I felt with David Axelrod. No offense. But if you like Jon Stewart at all in any way, or David Axelrod, you should watch the hour and 20 minutes.
I'm a huge David Axelrod fan.
So, I actually used to be.
He puts me to sleep. So it's got such a smooth voice.
Who's your favorite political consultant?
There's not many, by the way.
Well, there's tons. What are you talking about? Carl
Rove, David Axelrod. There's not a lot you can name, but yeah.
Yeah,
who's that? The Rage and Cajun?
What's Carville.
That? James Carville. Carville.
Married
yeah.
to Mary
James
Madeline.
Carville's good.
Was a
good Although,
power couple.
She just denounced the Republican membership. Did you see that? That made news.
I did not, no.
The Rage and Cajun, who's his wife?
Mary Madeline.
So they're very famous because she was a political consultant for the Bush dynasty. He was for the Clinton dynasty, mm-hmm. and they get married, you know, opposite ends of the political spectrum. But yeah, last week she denounced, she's a libertarian now.
Ooh.
She is denounced. She says nothing to do with Trump.
Uh-huh. Good timing.
Sorry.
Mute your phone, John. Jesus Christ. This is your first podcast. What the hell?
What else do we have?
We have a lot of topics to go over. Yeah. I'm not sure if we want to jump into this Oracle versus Google.
Oh, the trial?
It's a good one.
They just picked their jury, right?
How about this? What, tell me about it.
So, as I understand it, what had happened is back when Java was owned by Sun, mm-hmm. Google and the Android OS sort of re-implemented certain API calls to kind of make them more efficient or to better suit Android. And like Sun gave them their blessing and said, oh, we think this is great. This proves, you know, the sort of shareability of Java. Fast forward 10 years, Oracle buys Java and tries to sue Google into the Stone Age over this decision. Over, it's like three API calls, right? It's like minute amount of the OS. And the judge sided with him. He's like, yeah, you can't re-implement API. Like, the judge understands nothing about software development.
I 100% think that Oracle bought the Java, and when they bought it, they basically said, we know a lot of this is open source. It's fine. We love you guys. We love the community. This is amazing. Knowing the fact that they were going to be able to sue Google, like you said, into the Stone Age, because they use so much of that open source, maybe not open source.
I don't disagree version. Completely, but Oracle bought Sun because of MySQL. Because what was the point of running Oracle DB when you could run MySQL for free?
Yeah, I don't think it was only for lawsuits, but they're like, you know, and if we can do this. I mean, they sort of made this announcement like, hey, we just want you all to know this stuff's owned by a bunch of dickheads now. Yeah. Right? So you none boys of, yeah. better Watch lawyer out. Up and mind your P's and Q's.
None of this was for the betterment of the development community. This was all about, we're going to cash in at some point in one way or another.
But, I think at the time, I think this is such a landmark suit because, correct me if I'm wrong, but like this is challenging the very idea of like an API structure itself can be copyright or patented or whatever it is, because this is not where they're taking open source code that existed somewhere else. This is where they're saying, like, you have like a get file info method call or something like that, and they're taking like this whole like suite of API, you know, of system calls and or whatever they are, you know, this library, and they're re-implementing them in a different way without using any of Sun's code or Java's code. And like they're saying that is infringing on their patents, if I understand parts of it correctly.
37 API packages is basically what they're going after. So,
yeah, well, what Google had done was Sun had their API, which had the mobile code behind it, and Google thought it was not up to snuff. And so they rewrote the code behind the API functions.
Sure.
And made it more optimized to suit Android's needs at the time. And Oracle called foul.
Well, yeah, Google didn't buy it, so
Oracle
did.
Seeking $8.8 billion in damage, which is hilarious.
Jesus. Yeah,
almost $9 billion in damages is just unreal. But
I would love to be a juror on that, though.
It's funny because there's some people that probably just showed up for jury duty.
But you would be an
amazing. Thought they might,
you would be the most,
you know, get a traffic court or
and
something.
And this is
like
why
that.
Gavin should be on the jury, because he'd actually understand, be able to listen to the arguments.
No, apparently they objected to everybody with the software.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
So basically a bunch of grandmas.
Yeah. Have you touched a computer in the last 20 years?
You're out.
Dismissed.
What's your email address? AOL.com. You're in.
Hotmail or AOL,
done.
You're in.
You're done.
Well,
Grandma, imagine you walk into a
Piggly Wiggly with a Jewel food store bag.
I'm with you.
And go try ahead, to honey. Fill it up.
Well, most lawyers will tell you that jury selection is like the biggest part of winning any battle.
Absolutely.
So.
Oh yeah. It's funny. My buddy is a lawyer, and he's got like hilarious stories. Like, cause he was a lawyer out in Boulder, Colorado, where I guess like a lot of people like who like want to live off the grid and don't believe in the government live.
Right.
You know. And
so Steve's gonna be moving out there soon, I think.
Who?
Steve with his chickens and
maybe
off the grid.
Compost, yeah. Compost.
But he was saying, he's like,
God,
listen,
his neighbors
he's
would
like,
hate
you,
him.
If you want to know the easiest way to ever get out of jury duty, don't talk about your schedule. Like, they'll probably get you off. You'll get a lecture. But if you want to know the quickest way, you either say you tried to become a lawyer and you failed. they don't want anybody who knows the law. Or two, you say you're really into religion.
Oh,
just say, like, do you think you could be fair? Like, oh, I think I could be fair, but at the end of the day, we're all judged by God, our creator,
right.
As the ultimate source. And they'll both be like, next, you know, because they don't want religious people, and they don't want people who think they know the law.
Yeah.
I had one woman, when I got, you know, whatever jury duty, she basically stood up and says, I'm bipolar. And they're like, dismissed.
That's right, a good one, too.
Like, right away, you're out.
Yeah.
Bipolar.
I never even got picked to I got jury duty once in Chicago, and I didn't even make it to the pool. Like, they settled before it's weird because you sit there and you're in a hallway.
Oh, I got picked once. I was on a jury.
Yeah
it sucks.
Oh, I think it would be worse. My I have like a lot of like funny stories about this, I think, but like I remember this girl I knew really well was on a murder trial.
Ooh, that's long.
And it ended up being settled or plea, so it wasn't too much time. But she tells this great story where it wasn't a murder. It was an attempted murder trial because the guy was still alive, and the victim took the stand, and it was a drive-by shooting, and his attorney goes, and then what happened, sir? And he goes, he shot me. And he goes, where did he shoot you? He goes. In the balls.
What?
And the victim's wife starts laughing at the top of her mouth. And the lawyer goes, don't you mean scrotum, sir? That's hilarious.
His wife. Wife
is awesome. Let's keep this scientific. Yeah, don't you mean scrotum?
Right. I was on the case I got picked for was a traffic accident. And it was some poor woman who got rear-ended by a guy that had a lot of money. So what happened was, you know, it was a fender bender, and she was fine at the time, and then left the scene and talked to her lawyer, and then all of a sudden went to her chiropractor, and then showed back up with a neck brace on.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's a big deal.
It happens.
Sure.
In our society.
It happened in the Brady Bunch.
Yeah,
exactly. Until Mr. Brady drops his briefcase and you turn your head and your neck is completely fine. Exactly.
So.
You know, an interesting thing that came up in tech that I thought was interesting, and Sean, you posted this, was the Fitbit CEO dissing the Apple Watch.
I thought that was hilarious.
I thought it was a little hilarious.
I rolled my eyes very hard.
Good luck, pal.
Apple Watch owner rolls eyes as... Yeah, we all dismiss the Apple Watch.
Well, no, hold on. Let me. Well, you guys go through your, and I'll say my piece. But
well, so he said that basically by only focusing on being a gadget for walking, that they're better versus the iWatch, which is like a mini computer. It has too many features. But it's like consumers always choose. Like, that's why there's no such thing as standalone GPS devices anymore in your car. Because your iPhone does it now. You know, I mean, it's why cameras are going away. Because your smart... I mean, consumers don't want 8 gadgets that only do one function, you know? Like, it's going to go... Like, I think GoPro will be dead in a few years. I think Fitbit will be dead in a few years. They'll all be replaced by something that does more. Oof. By phones. The phones will just get so good, they can do it all.
And for me, the battery life on the original Fitbit, like, wasn't amazing either. I mean...
Yeah.
It you know, and then they have like they have their own watch clone that looks like kind of just like a cheaper clone of the Apple Watch, and and then they have like another device that's $250, and it's the price point really isn't that far off of a, the lowest option Apple Watch is like $300. So I don't know. I didn't really understand how they were doing things very differently. Their price points weren't that great, and I don't know. Yeah.
There'd be no stopping me from buying an Apple Watch, and I know Tim Cook listens to this podcast, so obviously. I'm just going to address him directly. So,
Mr. But Cook.
If it had GPS, I'd be all in. I'd spend $400 for an Apple Watch. I don't even care what it would cost because I want an Apple Watch already. I'm already an Apple fanboy. But you don't have GPS, so therefore I can't just go for a run and map my run with a watch.
Without your
so
phone.
So I need to go buy a GPS device. I got to have my phone strapped to my arm. And as John has mentioned, I look like an idiot with a phone strapped to my arm. Nice. So I can't
you don't
do that.
Need and that's what's stopping me from running, too.
So in order for me to run, in order to map my run.
In order for me to run and thanks, brag Tim about Trump. It on Facebook, because I am not going to fucking run just for my own body.
I want likes,
I
okay?
Yeah.
I do like to track my distance and my time and Steve has said I need to track my heart rate because that's important too. So,
for sure.
So I want all of these things, and it's only missing GPS at this point. Why don't you have GPS, Apple? It's built into your phones. Come on.
Dear asshole.
Dear Tim
Because
Cook.
The thing is, they have to make it bigger, probably.
It's already
they want to keep it
big.
Small. They want
Are
to keep it
kidding
small.
Me?
The Apple and the battery watches. Life is pretty not great right now.
Trade
so
battery
that
life for GPS
be...
in a minute. I'm not running for 12 hours.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Weren't you listening to Apple Music at the time?
Yeah, but I mean, a 12-hour battery with GPS is better than an Apple
but then,
Watch.
But if you're listening to Apple Music,
no...
that means you have an Apple iPod or something you as well.
No, so what I've been looking at is, and I'm not looking at like a $700 watch like John has. I've been looking at a TomTom, and the TomTom has GPS. It has 4 gigs of memory for music, and it also tracks my heartbeat, and it's about $200. And I think that's an amazing deal. I know the Microsoft Band has a pretty similar functions, and it's about $180 too. So like those, that's where I'm looking at because I want to run, I want to track my run, the heartbeat. I guess is important. I'm going to learn about that in a minute. I just don't have the device to track it right now.
Right.
So, but that's what I want, right? So Apple Watch, throw GPS in and I'm $400, I'm all in for $400. Like I'm fine with that. And we're not there yet. So this Fitbit guy is like, yeah, we've got everybody. And this is a true story. I was at a birthday party last month and everybody had Fitbits on their wrists. It was I felt like what did I miss? Were they on sale somewhere? Why does everybody have a fucking Fitbit? And they all are in a group Fitbit community with each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's family, coworkers, and friends.
One of us.
And on their watch, on their Fitbit, it tells them in real time where they are in standings with the rest of their friends, family, or coworkers,
yeah,
as far as steps per minute or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
And at the party, they were like, just at this party alone, I've walked 400 more steps than you, and I'm now in first place. And I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
And I see Facebook updates, and I see all these things, and they're all Fitbit. They're all in on the Fitbit, because all they're doing is basically saying, I'm in first place because I've walked 4,000 steps before 7 a.m. before you. And it's like, wow, I didn't even know this was a thing.
I think I mentioned this before, but insurance companies are actually giving people lower rates.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
If they wear Fitbits and can prove that they walked so many steps a day. So they're getting...
God damn it, Apple Watch. Will you get your shit together so I can lower my insurance?
Car insurance, where if you plug a thing into your car and it shows that you go under the speed limits...
Exactly.
You get lower rates. Yes. So they're, Fitbits doing the
Every
same thing.
Every time I go for a run, cool. I get like a $2 credit on my insurance plan.
But perfect. You lose it on your car insurance because you go 110
miles an hour. Well,
because I drive
120 with a Camaro and tops down and...
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just want to get back to like the Fitbit, the CEO's thing, because he used like a really weird... Really, really weird phrasing. He said, like, did he call like a computer system on your wrist or something like that? That sounded so antiquated.
He sounded like a guy from the 40s trying to explain the future.
Yeah.
We use RISC technology on
and
our
you
wrist.
Have a mainframe strapped to your wrist
architecture.
Who wants that?
And I do like the Fitbits. Like, the lowest level Fitbit that I have that is a single function device. Like, it works great.
How many Fitbits do you have?
Just one. Okay. Well, actually, I'll have two because I lost one of them and their customer support was so great. I was like, oh, I lost mine. Can you give me one at a reduced price? They sent me one out for free, like an entirely second one. So that was awesome. And their
and
scale
you're bad mouthing them now.
Yeah, well,
damn.
And the scale is nice, and their app is really nice, and their online app is nice.
Yeah.
But it's just I don't like get their higher end devices where they're trying to market, and then just like their cheaper iPhone clone just looks like it does calendar updates and it does meeting invites and like your music. But
and I looked at that Fitbit.
Yeah.
But I did, because I'm like, all right, it's got the GPS, it's got the music, it's got the heart rate thing.
But I think it said it has connected GPS, which to me said you need a phone for it. So it's basically the same thing as the Apple Watch, which is it does have a connected GPS.
Just carry your phone, quit whining.
Jeez. Just get a fanny pack.
I want a watch and wireless Bluetooth headphones. I want to run free. I want to run forever, Dan.
Run free.
I want to run forever.
All right, that's my piece on the Fitbit.
All right.
I'm going back to working on
you
production.
You want to rant a little bit more?
No, I'm done.
Stop working on production sites right now.
All right.
Stop working on our CEO's website.
Yeah.
I didn't mention any names.
I almost said she, but I didn't. All right, so we had some other topics.
Do you have any transformation this week? We talked a lot about IT, but...
For some reason, I thought you had a good story, DM, but now I can't remember.
I never. You think they're good stories?
Well, and they usually are, but then they all blend together, and we can never remember what actually happened this week.
I believe they're all nightmare and induced.
You're laughing, Sean.
Yes,
Dion's crying on the inside.
I'm on the inside, and you're on the outside. That's pretty much how these stories go down. Don't know the depth in which I can go for my latest transformation story.
Deep pull.
But I will. I think the way that I'll frame the conversation is about a year ago, I had and we all had suggested that we have two different service desks, one that's being built and will be the future, and one that we have that will be decommissioned and sunsetted into oblivion. And where we are now is interesting because we've always said we were willing and able to go into one help desk. It made sense to buy in and kind of use it because we're familiar with the technology and the platform for all of our tracking of incident management tickets. And we're a year in and we're only now discussing the contracts to get us into using that system for incident management. And that kind of doesn't sit well for me because all I've been trying to do is make sure that we had a solution in place when transformation was done. So there will always be tickets. And I like to refer to it as the front door, right? The front door where somebody's knocking and they're looking for help and they want to be let in so they can get their answers and their solutions. And, as we have two front doors now, I'd like to shut our old one down and say, everybody go next door. I'd like to shut the front door on our current solution and say, everybody,
we have front doors, we have back doors, we have pockets. We're not sure what we're doing here.
I'm not sending anybody to the back door. I'm just sending them next door to our new place where they'll get great service, because it'll be 24/7. In multiple languages, and it'll be great. I honestly do think there will be some benefit there. However, the effort in which I'm going through and our company's going through in order to get that front door set up is incredible. And we've been telling everybody for a year, we're moving next door. Can you guys just tell everybody that our new address is like right next door? Because that's where everybody should go. And only now are we asking for the change of address. Let's just put it that way.
You need my angry racist neighbor to tell people, get off my lawn, go next door.
No, we don't even need to talk about your angry racist neighbor. although to you and your son to your face when your ball rose into his lawn is unbelievable. Like
we'll talk about it later.
Yeah. See the extended NC-17 version of the podcast for that commentary. so transformation has just been interesting this week in that the we know we're moving next door. We know we have one front door we want to send everybody to, and we are at a place where we're like, all right, guess what? All our furniture is next door. The change of address has been put into the post office. Could you guys stop coming to the next to the old place where we were and start showing up at the right door? We have a sign that says, "Hey, if you need help, go there." But nobody's doing it. So that's kind of the nicest way I can reiterate what's happened this week in transformation. It's not a rant. I don't think I swore too much.
Actually calm, actually.
Yeah.
Surprised.
Yes. Yes. I'm breathing. There's a lot of exhaling, deep breaths. Yeah. Yeah. It's been better. I've been all right.
You want to talk about GTB?
Nope. Yeah. Now you want to raise my blood pressure.
Yep.
Wait, can we even bring that up? I don't even know.
Nah, we'll save it for another week.
They're in the midst of a global name change to their marketing agency.
Again.
And I mean, been made public, so I think we could at least acknowledge that it's been done. And the work that's gone on behind the scenes has been we've had a good team around it, and the team that supports Ford has done another name change, and it's a global name change. So they're bringing a bunch of marketing agencies together under the same domain, same email address, same everything. And I think it's great. They seem to do this every couple of years until they seem to have finally gotten it right. No offense to anybody in Detroit.
It's never going to happen again.
Never going to happen again. We're here for 20
years. We got it right this time.
Yes. But it came about pretty quickly. In the grand scheme of things, we have spent more time dealing with company name changes over a year at a time. And this one basically came up, and we transformed and did everything in less than, I would say, 2 months. So this was we're doing it. We didn't tell anybody. It's got to be confidential. And now we're here.
Well, the thing is, it hit my desk today, my laptop.
Finally.
Because
thanks, John.
Sorry. That they wanted a office created in a creative system that they wanted an office created in their old name. And I said, no, you can't do it in your old name because you guys just transformed to your new name. But they already submitted their award entries as their old names. So they want to track it as their old name.
Sure.
And then someday move it to their new name. So.
So it's the best and worst of what we do. It's the best in that our team came through in spades. We had people who were about to go on vacation, who stepped up and made changes. We've got other team members who barely understand the technology, who are stepping in to make changes. We've got people who have experience but aren't responsible for it, stepping in to say, yeah, I'll help you out to make sure this gets done. So on every level of our team, everybody's basically stepped up and said, even though we're moving through this transformation, it's probably not our responsibility. We do have new things to do. We understand the importance. We have a relationship with this team, and we're going to make sure it gets done. So, you know, top to bottom, I would say everybody stepped up and in a short period of time made all the changes that were necessary. Now, we're only through phase one out of like three phases, but, you know, where we are right now, I think everybody would be more than satisfied, like happy with what we've done. So changing names in our directory, updating our global phone book, communicating out the change. I think we're, you know, updating websites, login pages, et cetera. It's a big task. I don't think we've missed anything so far. But we'll see in the next. We've got another 10 days to figure out what we've missed and to resolve it. But so far, so good. And I you know, would like to pat the back of everybody who's been involved because I think it's been great. But it's been a challenge because in our new world, we're supposed to do things a certain way. And we kind of reverted back to we're going to claim current mode of operation on this one because there's no way IBM was going to be able to take care of this one.
Yep.
So we basically said, we'll get you through this, and then, you know, if you were to, if you would have done this in 2017, you know, Godspeed, because not going to happen. But
so let's bring back our listeners something better. You see any movies this weekend?
No, we're going there. So over the weekend,
geeky there. So
I think
we all did, but
it was a little bit of work, a little bit of transformation, and a little bit of thanks, guys, for doing your best.
Yep.
Over the weekend, Marvel's Civil War came out, and I was able to. By the way, I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but the movie theater that I only go to now because I'm such a snob is it's iPick, and you get to sit in a recliner, you get to drink beer, they bring you food, it's like full service, and it's only like $7 more than a regular movie ticket, but like it's full service, and like they serve you beer, and it's a reserved seat, so you don't have to worry about where you sit or anything like that. So I only go to iPick because it's like this, it's an experience. Snob. Yes. So I reserve, you know, our you know, me and my buddies reserve our tickets ahead of time. We go see Star Wars, we saw Marvel, we saw
Nerd Alert.
Batman, we see a lot of movies this way, but just it's just nice.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I was
have you seen
going to theaters, that's zombies? The way I would do it.
I don't think it was showing at the iPick, but
well, then you haven't lived.
Then I have not lived. But this past weekend I did get to see Civil War. And I thought it was good, bordering on great. And then I was reminded by Sean that I'm the worst person to ask because I'm a fanboy. I've read the comics. And what did you say? It's like the people who've read Harry Potter novels, they're the worst person to ask about the movies. Well, it just seemed
the parts that you didn't like were due to where it didn't follow the comics as closely as you would have liked. And I'm not somebody who would have that same complaint, so that didn't really mean a lot to me, you know.
Yep.
That's not a knock against you. It's just, you know, how you approach it.
So I had shared there's 100 Marvel Civil War comic books out there that start to finish explain how it started, how it ended, who lived, who died. And I thought the comic was great. It lasted a year, and I thought it was one of the best arcs I had ever read in, you know, comic book world. And then the movie came out, and I was like, all right, I'm not expecting them to follow this at all. I know they're going to, you know, have their own arc, their own storyline, and then I'm excited. It came out. The reviews were great. I got excited going, oh, my God, this is going to be awesome. And I went there, and I said, yeah, that was pretty good. I liked it. I enjoyed it. It was one of the longest Marvel movies they ever made. And the characters that were involved were deep. There was attachment. There was some depth. It varied from the comic books a lot, but I like where they went with it. And again, I think it was in conjunction with everything you've ever watched Marvel, TV shows, movies, comics. But, you know, it left you with, oh, what's going to happen next? So I think the next couple movies that come out over the next year are going to be great. I think it was good. I'm not going to do spoilers like I've done with every other movie. I've been warned not to get too deep into it. I will say that as a Spider-Man fanboy, above all, growing up, I probably own more Spider-Man comics than any other comic on the face of the planet. His brief interaction in the movie was awesome. And as I was walking out, my buddy Mike turned to me and he's like, dude, every 2 seconds you're like, I love Spider-Man. This is the best part.
And
holy shit, I can't believe
that's
Spider-Man.
That's what I heard on
like,
a radio.
Spider-Man's great. He's like, I couldn't believe you were such a Spider-Man fanboy. And I'm like, dude, it was awesome. It was like the funnest part of the whole movie.
They're saying this is the best Spider-Man out of all of them so far.
Well, you know.
Out of all 10 of them.
Yeah, exactly.
They finally got Spider-Man right.
It's impossible to get that suit, the coloring, perfect. They got it.
I am going to give you a little bit of background on what's
going on. No, God, no.
Without spoiling the movie. In the Civil War process, Spider-Man is a young kid.
And you do it without spoiling the podcast.
He's a young kid. he's introduced to this whole world of the Avengers, and he's in awe. And that's essentially what he was in the movie, and that was great. Because
learned a lot about himself, his inner character.
Spider-Man, you know, with great power comes great responsibility.
He's at a crossroads in his life.
Uh-huh. Realizes, yep. You know, like, this is great. He's a kid in the movie, and that was the coolest part, because that's what Spider-Man was in comics growing up. So I appreciate it. So I was told to go into Civil War, not ruin the fucking movie.
Please ruin it. Please.
Give my opinion and get out. So that's all I can fucking say about Civil War. All right. It was great. I love Spider-Man. I'm a fanboy. Go see the movie.
Well, I definitely want to see it.
So, yes.
Would you be gushing if you didn't have a signed seat and beer?
I would still love it. I'm not a big fan of 3D because I had LASIK and I don't love 3D. It gives me a headache.
But I did hear a review today that said this is a movie that you actually should see in 3D.
Nah.
That's what the regular guy said on a local station here in Chicago.
Really. There, I mean, there's
explosions. I never see 3D because it's so much more expensive.
But they said it's almost worth it for this one.
I don't know. I haven't seen a 3D movie since like back in the 80s. I don't know how much better it is now. You still have to wear the glasses, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I would hope it's a lot better.
Kids like
well, you know what was funny about the 80s, too, is they would change the plot, kind of, like, to better leverage the 3D. Like, there would just be... Remember, like, was it Jaws?
Jaws.
3 was 3D. It was Jaws 3D.
Jaws 3 and 3D, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, there were so many weird scenes that you're like, why did they film it this way? Because I saw it on, like, network TV, and then you're like, oh, that's right. It was originally 3D, because, like... There were just, like, a lot of weird scenes where something came at the camera for longer than necessary for no reason to try
There were, and I remember this because it's supposed to be one of the 3D movies of our generation, right? Mm-hmm. There were, like, squirts of ketchup.
Yeah.
There was a harpoon gun.
Yep.
Like, just things pointed randomly at the camera where you're like, what are you doing? Like, why?
Like, it was a prank show or
why
something.
Why do I need to see the tip of that harpoon gun that you're about to fire into your foot or whatever it was? It's just... Yeah, I agree. Anyways, so I'm not a fan of 3D. I don't think it's important. I don't think it lended itself to this movie. The last movie I saw in 3D that gave me a headache was Avatar. So, yeah, mm-hmm. The blue people running around a forest of, you know, enchantment or whatever it was. But
yeah, that wasn't that bad. That's the only 3D movie I've ever seen.
I didn't mind like when they were in slow... Walking through, touching flowers, experiencing the animals. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then as soon as action scenes came, I'm like, slow down. My eyes cannot keep up with this. This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't like it.
I think
at
I
all.
Saw Despicable Me 2 in, with my son in 3D.
The Minions, man. The Minions, really good.
You have Minions all around
banana.
You. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Look at that banana.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, I was telling you about one of my friends who I lived with for a while who was a drug dealer. He walked away from that Avatar movie, like, saying, this changed my fucking life. Like, he was like, this is going to change the way we watch everything forever. And, like, he would not stop going on about it.
I don't need to do drugs anymore. Not these movies are so good.
I'm a drug dealer, epiphany. But I'm not going to be a drug dealer anymore.
That's right.
This movie changed my life.
God, saved him. He must have been, like, 26 or 27.
I am going to sell 3D glasses from now on. Yeah. This is amazing.
Pushing them.
Okay. Man. So that was my, you know, that was my experience with the Civil War. I thought it was good, but I won't get too deep into it because I've been told I've ruined movies for people, so I won't.
I've been told I've ruined movies.
I ruined movies. So you guys want to talk Star Wars or have you all fucking seen it yet? I mean, Jesus. Anyways.
It took me a while, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. The Force Awakens, like a year ago. All right.
I know.
All right.
It's been awoken.
Woke as fuck.
Woke as, yeah.
As the kids say.
You know,
Should we do some vendor scum before we end? Or?
Oh, my goodness.
And yet.
Oh, what time is it? Where are we at?
We got about two topics left.
I don't want to jump the gun.
We got about two topics left. I don't have the vendor scum in front of me, but it is...
We had some
pretty,
good ones this week.
It was pretty classic. So the vendor scum that I received that I shared with everybody was, did your intranet happen by accident? And I'm like, all right, well, what is that? And before I could even open the email. In the preview, there is a pregnancy test.
What?
And it says, did your internet happen by accident? And it basically is the pregnancy test saying, you're pregnant.
Pregnant.
It goes in to say, prepared or not, your intranet is here. And the question is, how do you make it the best? Do you rebuild, replace, all this other stuff? Please buy our white paper, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the funny part that was kind of brought to my attention was in the video where this guy is explaining what they're selling you, there is somebody being pulled by two hands forcefully through the video. And it basically looks like essentially somebody's being dragged against their will. Into
like a shotgun marriage.
Yes, it's like you will get through this. I promise you. Even if I have to drag you through it, it's just the weirdest vendor email I had received in a long time.
Especially me saying I'm an official accident in my family. My parents have
I'm offended by this.
My parents told me I'm an accident.
Wow.
And, I was offended by this.
And here's John, our accident. Well, an Irish Catholic family is usually new, coming from, like, one of those families, because it usually, they have, like, six kids, all 18 months apart, except for the baby, who's, like, 5 years younger.
Yeah, exactly.
Than,
so
the rest of the kids.
So my family, Irish Catholic,
yeah.
4 kids in 5 years, and the only reason they had a year off is because my mom had a miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was born like 8 years later.
Whoa.
So, yeah, so my parents told me.
Yeah.
It happens.
Well, you know, according to this, no matter what happens, no matter how unprepared you are,
you have an interest.
They have a SharePoint Shepherd to guide you.